Hi, I'm Bill Corcoran Jr., and I'm your host for the On the Stacks podcast. Today, I'm chatting with Johnny Popko, host of Alt Natives on Alt 92.1. What's up, podcast? Episode 21, Johnny Popko, or Popko, as they call him. Welcome to the On the Stacks podcast. How are you?
Happy to be here. I feel like I've made it.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long, long time. I feel like 100 comments later, back and forth between you and I on Facebook.
Yeah, I know. You asked me earlier a few months back, but I'm like, you know what? If you don't mind, I want to wait until I can be in the studio.
Well, it's only fitting because, like, you're a radio guy.
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
Sort of.
Part-time.
Yeah.
I pretend to be.
I'm more of a pretend radio guy than you, though.
That's okay.
You know?
We're all pretending. Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, whatever, right? All right, well, let's get into a little history lesson of Popko. Take me back 15 years ago or so. I think you got into the music industry. Tell me a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so it's not a wild story by any means, but thanks for letting me share it. So it's actually 16 years ago now. I started off as an intern at The Weekender, which is definitely not what it was today, you know, in current times. But back then it was the Bible, you know, it was the Bible of where to go, what bands to see, all that kind of stuff. So I was an intern in 2004. And then a year later, I was offered a position at The Weekender. And it was funny because I remember saying, as you know, when I was an intern, I wanted to work there. I wanted to one day be the general manager of The Weekender. And I actually left The Weekender as the GM.
Oh, look at that.
So, yeah. So, well,
how did you start? What was your internship there? What'd you do?
So it was marketing. So I was doing a lot of the promotions, you know, out and about, you know, doing the fun stuff at the bars with, you know, people like Coors Light. And there's obviously some in-house, you know, we handled the model of the week. We handled the tattoo of the week and things like that. But it was cool because I was never very outgoing at all. And I was an intern with two other girls, Ashley and Jessica. And they were like, you know, we'll do whatever. And there was me like, I don't want to do any of that. I don't want to ask people to enter contests. I don't want to do that kind of stuff. That scares me. But thankfully for them, because I didn't want to be like the guy not doing his part. So their ability to interact with people forced me to kind of become that, I guess you could say. I still don't like doing it, but I'm a little more comfortable these days.
Cool. Yeah. So for those that are listening that may not know, what is The Weekender?
The Weekender, well, I mean, it still exists. It hasn't printed in probably 2 or 3 months. I don't know if it ever will, just due to coronavirus and things like that. It will probably live online. But The Weekender was NEPA's number one entertainment publication newspaper. It printed every Wednesday. It came out every Wednesday. And people would flock to the newsstands to get it. It was free, you know. The advertising inside of it paid for it. But it was, like I said, it was the Bible, you know. It was, you know, people got it to see what beers were on special, where, what bands were playing, you know, where can we go out and kind of get lit, as the kids say these days.
Is that what they call it?
These days, yeah,
or
the kids.
It, or is it, what's your thing now, like get weird or something?
Oh, I always get weird, yeah.
Yeah.
Always get weird.
Like how weird?
Well, it depends on what I'm drinking, you know.
Like not these Coors Light waters.
Hey, Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill.
That was Johnny's advertisement for Coors Light.
They're a great sponsor of my show.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for them.
Yeah. So back to The Weekender. So your goal was to become the GM.
Yeah. Yeah. So internship, and, you know, I look back and my dad is the one who, I remember he called me up when I was in college. And I don't know where I was at the time, but I remember he called me because I wasn't living at home at the time. I had moved out. And because I just kind of wanted to get on my own. I remember my dad saying, why do you want to move out? Like, you have everything you want right here. And I'm like, that's why. I want to get out. I want to, like, know what it's like to pay a bill. I don't want to, like, graduate college and then be thrown on my ass and have to figure it out then. Like, I can move out and you and mom are still there. You're my safety net if I need you. But I got to do this on my own, you know? So he called me up and he's like, hey, the Weekender is looking for an intern. So I called up and, or I emailed or whatever I did that day, and I got the internship, and that's that. My father's no longer here with us today, but I'll never forget that moment in my life where he called me, and that's kind of how my career started, was with that one phone call. Uh-huh. which is it's a cool member to have.
Yeah.
So, So back to that internship. I finished that in 04. I graduated college in 05 in May. And then it was funny because I applied for a job at the Weekender for a sales position, and I didn't get it. I think a girl named Janelle actually got the position instead of me, which worked out great because she was much better at sales than I would have been at the time. And then like 2 months later, I was offered the marketing job, which is what I was doing as an intern. So it was just kind of, it all
now was like
fell
real.
Into place. Yeah, it all fell into place.
Now you can get fired.
Yeah. But I was like the same thing. It was just like we handled the model man of the week, which back then was a really important part of the paper. I mean, that was, if nothing else people picked it up for, it was to turn to that back page and look at who the model of the week was. Whether it be as a joke or just to see who it was, we had sponsors on that generated a lot of revenue. And it was great. So we handled model of the week, and I was out doing promotions at bars, and we were calling them Weekender nights out, and I was getting paid to party, really, which I didn't get paid a lot, but I did wake up
paid to party.
Yeah, I remember I remember saying to myself, I can't believe I get paid to have this much fun, and it was a lot of fun. So I did that for about a year and a half, and then it got to the point where it's like, okay, I've had a lot of fun. You know, I was doing beer pong tournaments at strip clubs. That was a lot of fun. We were doing bus trips with local bands to New York City, went to CBGB's, the TLA in Philly, I think that's where it is. But a lot of fun. But it wasn't paying the bills. So I was like,
a lot of weird, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
No money.
Money, but not a lot.
Not enough.
Not enough. I started growing up. I'm like, I got to start making some more money and making better life choices. And in order to do that, I need to make more money. And again, it worked out perfectly because Katie was her name. She moved on to Mohegan Sun in 2007. And so there was an open sales job. And I had already been working with all the local business owners the way it was, which is doing the promotional end of stuff. And so that opened up and I applied for that. I was, given that opportunity. And still, I was able to make more money, but still have a lot of fun. A lot of my accounts were bars and restaurants. So it was still like that fun type of stuff. And then 2 years later, they were looking for a director of sales. So in 2009, I was named the director of sales for the Weekender. Had a small sales team underneath me. I did that for 3 years. And then Rachel Pugh, who I know you know, mm-hmm. She was a GM at the time. She decided to move on in 2012. And they were looking for a GM. And I applied for that. And the rest is history. I moved up fast. I think just people, I mean, my name was Johnny Weekender. People thought I owned the thing. So, it was, my name was attached to it. And I mean, I'm not trying to sound full of myself or braggadocious, but, people really associated me with the Weekender. It was, mm-hmm. They went hand in hand and, had a lot of success there. And, it was a good time in my life. Met my wife there. She was a model of the week.
Nice. Were you ever the model of the week?
No.
No, me neither.
I just picked them.
Yeah.
I just picked them. Yeah.
All right.
But met my wife there. Had a great time. It was a perfect job for my early to, I guess it was from 21 to, I was there from 2000, no, sorry, 04 to 2013.
So what prompted you to leave there?
It was unfortunate, really. Ownership changed. Ownership from out of town kind of took over. And they outsourced a lot of their production from right here in Wilkes-Barre to out of town. I believe it was North Carolina. I could be wrong. But the issue was they weren't here. So in order to get things done, ads design and things like that, or whether it was, just production issues, they weren't here. It just felt like they didn't care. So every week, let's say, Bill, you're taking out a half-page ad, full color, right? the paper prints. Now it's a weekly publication, so like if it screws up, it's like you can't go fix it the next day. It's done. It's wrong for an entire week.
Yep.
And it was a big deal because people really picked it up and read it based on, you know, their ads and their bar stuff and all that kind of, you know. And every week it was like, hey, Bill, sorry your ad was wrong. It was black and white or whatever. You paid for color. I'll get you a color next week for free or whatever it might be. But then next week comes, your ad's wrong again. All right, Bill. Well, the following week I'll give you a full page to make up for the error. And then the following week maybe it didn't even run at all. So it's like my reputation and the trust that I've built with my clients over the years is being diminished because these clowns in another state don't give a shit what they're doing. So it got to the point where I'm like, you know what? I see the writing on the wall. And things were going on internally too. So not that I think I would have got let go anyways, but that probably would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad I made the move when I did. And I jumped ship and went to the competitor, so to speak. I mean, Time Shamrock.
Okay.
So, and that was 2013. I was actually asked to leave. I remember I put my 2 weeks in, and my boss accepted it. And I said, I'm going to the radio stations in Scranton. She's like, yeah, we're going to have to ask you to leave. Because that's what kind of happened back then. You were going to a competitor. You didn't get your 2 weeks. You just, see ya.
Okay. So they threw you out.
It threw me out, which I'm not going to lie. I cried, you know, I'm not afraid to admit that. Not there at the moment, but it was really, you know, I spent, like I said, the majority of my life there, my career, I mean, the start of my career was there, and to kind of get that exit was not the way I wanted it to play out. Now I understand. I mean, it is what it is. It's business. It's a competitor and they don't want you to, you know, tamper with things before you leave.
Sure.
Not that I would have. I mean, it was my choice to leave, but I get it, but it's not the way I wanted
to make
my exit as it was like the last standing member of the Weekender from when I started. You know, the team that was in place when I started, none of us were there when I left.
So you're a lone survivor.
I always made the joke. It was, you know, then there was two and then there was one and now there's none. But it served its purpose. It was a fantastic part of my life, and I had such a good time doing it. And it really brought me to where I am today.
So what did you do immediately after? You went into radio?
So I actually took a 2 week vacation because they paid me my 2 weeks anyways. Or maybe I took a week, I forget. But I took a little, you know, time off. I went to some shows and had some fun with my friends and started in radio sales. At the time it was Rock 107, Fuzz 92.1, and ESPN Radio. And I was there for a year. I only made it a year. I thought...
What happened?
Nothing really happened.
You just didn't like it, or...?
It was one of those situations where I felt like I wanted to get out of sales. You know, I was in sales from 2007 until 13. It was just a while, you know. Sales is not an easy job. I don't. You do sales, yeah. You get it. I mean, it's not. No one at the end of the day is thanking me for taking their money, you know. I mean,
yeah,
it's really a thankless job. So I just thought, you know, I want to get out of sales, and I was doing. I think I did like two interviews elsewhere, and I got a job at eBay Enterprise, which was an absolute nightmare.
Oh no.
Absolute nightmare. I was there for 6 months. It's funny because I always say, you know, where I am now, I'm back at the radio stations, that I was, I took a 6 month vacation. I was on drugs. I went to rehab.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, are you serious? I'm like, no, I'm kidding. But I probably needed some like psychiatric help after my 6 months at eBay. And it was nothing against the company. It's now Pepper Jam. It was Pepper Jam prior to eBay. But it's now Pepper Jam again. And I mean, I like the people I worked with. I had a boss there that I don't even know why she hired me. Like it's so bizarre how it played out. Like it was her and
what was the role? What were you going to be doing?
So I was in affiliate marketing.
Okay.
So, are you familiar with like RetailMeNot, websites like that?
Yeah.
You know, so those ads that kind of like follow you around and things. It's similar to that, but we worked with a lot of those Retail Me Not, Coupon Cabin, things like that, where we would help, you know, the Pumas of the world and the BJs of the world and things like that, have ads on those sites and just help drive revenue that way through online stuff. And when I was doing the interview, like, you know, they asked me the questions like, you know, are you familiar with Excel and things like that? And I'm like, I was honest. Like, I had nothing to lose. I had a job. I wasn't trying to like, you know, I wasn't desperately trying to leave. So I was like, I know enough to get by. Like, I know how to like auto sum columns and, you know, things like that. I said, I think I know enough to get by. And it was a lot of Excel data, spreadsheets and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it was just a bizarre moment of my life. Like, the 6 months was so weird. I remember my boss would be like, hey, can you do this for me? I said, yeah, I would be more than happy to, but I don't know how to do that. John, you were taught how to do that. Just get it done. I'm like, oh, okay. So I would try to figure it out. Like, I'm like, I'll do this. I'll figure it out. And I would get it done. It would be wrong. And I'd get yelled at. Like, why is this wrong? Why did you do it that way? I'm like, well, I don't know how to do it. I did the best I could. And then I got to a point where it was like, John, why are you asking questions when you need help? And I'm like, I asked you, or I told you I know how to do it. I would do it if you taught me how to. And this is why I don't ask questions. I just do it. And then I try to figure it out. And this is why it's wrong. But it was 6 months of like just a mind bender. Like, I would go home and I would just sit there and look at the TV and stare at it, not even being on. I would just stare at the TV. And it was a bizarre, bizarre 6 months of my life. Again, I don't know why she hired me, but she did. And it was 6 months. It was terrible. I'm thankful for that moment and that time in my life because it put me back into radio. And not because, so I was doing a lot of work for like national companies, like I said, Puma and BJ's and I think even Target at the time. And I really wanted to get back to working with local people. Like, I would rather work with Mark West at River Grill and help his business, and you know, Vinny from the V Spot and help his business, or whoever it might be. I'd rather work one-on-one with a local business and help them succeed rather than companies like Target and Puma. That doesn't like excite me. You know, it's just, yeah, they're monsters. They have a lot of money. They make a lot of money. And for me, it was, I wanted to get back into sales in that retrospect. And, so I did. It worked out really well. There was a rep that was at the station who was leaving, and she had a lot of accounts that I had worked with at the Weekender. So it was really a seamless transition where I went back to the station, and just started doing sales again.
Is this where you're at now?
It's where I am now. Yeah. Okay. The stations are still, it's Rock 107, ESPN Radio, but now the station that was Fuzz 92.1 is now Alt 92.1. Same style of music, same everything. It's just a different name. We changed the name in 2017.
Okay.
I'm not sure why. It's above my pay grade, but yeah.
So what exactly do you do?
I sell air. I sell commercials. So yeah. The annoying things between the music, that's what I sell. And not only do I sell the airtime, I also create copy and the commercials that you hear. Not all of them, but some of them. But it's very, it's rewarding. I mean, it's from start to finish. You know, you sell the ad, you sit down with the advertiser, you talk about creative, and it all comes together. And, you know, from start to finish, you know, even collecting the checks, which is the worst part, but it must be done.
Yeah, I think that's everyone's least favorite part.
Yeah, it's like, you know what we did, the thing we just did, you have to pay for that.
Yeah, you have to pay for that now, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Not Corona. You have to announce that when you cough, by the way.
Yeah.
I think we should leave that in the podcast. Yeah. Mike Mann is putting on his mask now.
Where's my mask? So,
yeah.
But yeah. So I went back to the station in 2015.
Cool.
And I've been there since, so 5.5 years now.
And you brought this firmness of a #freak party cardboard cutout today, which, by the way, it's like 3 or 4 inches taller than you actually are. So, like,
well, let's start off with, I don't really like the word And we chose the word out of this large dictionary.
We did. So
I don't like which word? The way you used it. The firmness. I don't like the way you used it to represent.
So yeah. So firmness is very difficult to use in a sentence.
you tried.
I did my best, and I only had like 15 minutes to figure it out, and I think I epically failed. But yeah. So your cardboard cutout actually is not firm at all. It's kind of bent.
Yeah, it's a little flimsy.
Yeah, it is.
But it's been in my closet for, I don't know, almost a year now. I actually, I got this made. I'm not full of myself. I got this made. I used to do the NAPA Scene podcast with Rich Howells, and it was the 100th episode, and I was not going to be able to make it. And I'm like, I cannot miss the 100th episode. So I had this made. So that way it could still be there.
Did it speak on the podcast?
No, it just stood there like it is now. Really creepy.
Non-firmness.
Yeah. Stop using that word.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be like my new word. Mike's laughing so hard over here. But for those listening, I have this Webster's New Universal Unabridged Dictionary. It's about 12 inches thick, and it's a long story why it's here in the studio, but it's here, and I've had a lot of people say to me and ask, like, why is that there? And you got to like use it somehow in the podcast. So you're actually the first podcast. You're the first episode that we're using the unabridged dictionary.
Poorly. But we're trying. We're trying here.
Don't make me open it up and pick a word and you have to use it.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I could try. But where were we?
I don't know. I think we were at Alt 92.1.
Yes. You were making fun of my firmness of a cardboard cutout.
Yeah. Oh, and one other thing I got to ask before I forget, too, the Big League Chew flavor voting. You got, like, mad at me.
Dude, when I was watching that video.
Which one? Like, the final one?
I think so. But you were like Grape the Goat for every week, which I was getting annoyed with also.
Yeah, why, though? Aren't you a grape fan?
It's okay. I think I'm a fan of all the flavors.
Okay.
But, like, I just.
But you have to.
You're always Grape the Goat. Well, because it is. I'm sick of this.
But
it is. Sick of it. And then the last one, you're like, you know what? Apple. I mean, this might be it. I think I'm changing my, and like, you can't do that. There's no way this is happening.
I faked everyone out.
But it was a joke, so you're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which flavor is your favorite though?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I haven't had.
There's not enough Big League, to try. You know, sorry.
I haven't had
Big League Chew. If Big League Chew is listening, they're going to have to send me some more because I've chewed it all.
Yeah. That's what it's for.
Well, yeah.
I haven't had it probably since I played baseball, which was like 1,000 years ago.
Wow.
You know?
I've had too much of it recently.
Yeah, it's not something that I like, you know, it's not a go-to snack.
It is. It's going to be now.
I don't know.
Why not?
Maybe it should be, though.
I think so.
I didn't get this fat from eating, like, gum. Actual food. So maybe I should start doing that instead.
I think you should. All right. We get some more. Okay. I'll invite you back.
Or you can come on my podcast next.
I'll come on your podcast. I'll bring the Big League Chew.
Yeah, I brought the Coors Light this time. You bring the Big League Chew.
I'll bring the Big League Chew. I'll bring my cardboard cutout because I have one, by the way. Man, this is like getting real weird.
And you have my shirt on. Well, not my shirt.
I do.
I brought you a shirt.
And hopefully
to wear.
By the time I come on yours, I'll have my own shirts.
Right.
And then I'm going to come. You're going to wear my shirt because I'm wearing your shirt. This is like.
I feel like I'm looking at myself.
Yeah, this is like strange.
It's crazy.
I just got to get that same haircut that you have. I don't think I can, though.
Dude, it was weird. This is my first haircut I got yesterday. First time since March 11th or 10th.
Wow. Did you have long hair?
The top has been growing since March 10th. I actually cut the sides myself maybe 2 months ago. So I was like, because I had walked into the bathroom to just shave it all off. But I did the sides. I'm like, okay, this is not terrible. Like, it's even. It's, you know, it's not faded all cool, but it'll work. Went to the barber yesterday. I'm like, I don't want to shave my head. I don't want the same haircut I had before. So like I said, just do whatever you want to do. And we have this. So it
doesn't look bad.
Well, I hope not.
Looks better than your cutout.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Looks like you have a man bun in your cardboard cutout. Doesn't it? Did you?
No, I did not. That would never happen.
It sure looks
I'm closer.
Like it.
I'm closer to one now than that thing. But no man bun. That's not going to happen.
What's up with the pouch?
What?
I'm just asking.
How dare you?
That's nice. It's a nice leather pouch.
It is. That is from Joe Rogan's website.
Is it?
Yes, it is. It's Joe Rogan approved.
A Joe Rogan pouch?
It's
podcast starter kit.
That is a fanny pack.
Is that what it is?
Yes. It's top notch, though. It's leather. And I'm really bummed out because...
It's got nice stitching.
Yeah. It's very well done. It's very well
made. Is that like a diamond on there?
No, it's a... You turn it to open the
pouch. Locking mechanism.
Yeah. So I was excited. I was supposed to go to Disney World in April, and I was going to rock the hell out of that fanny pack.
You still got it?
But coronavirus derailed my plans. So... I think I wore Tech Nobles once. My wife is not a big fan.
Why not?
Although she did also buy a fanny pack for Disney. But she, I mean, obviously it looks much better on her.
But not Joe Rogan.
And not one. Joe Rogan. But I love that fanny pack. I wore it to Altitude last year. I did a little poll on Facebook. I'm like, who thinks I should wear this fanny pack to?
I love it.
Altitude. And raving reviews. Everyone was, yes.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's very practical. You know what you can put in there?
What do you put in there?
You can put your phone in there. Put your concert tickets in there. You can put M&Ms in there. Whatever you want.
Coors Lights fit in there?
I don't think so. You can put Big League Chew in
there. Ooh, now we're talking.
Yeah,
Now I got to get one of
exactly.
these.
Exactly. He's got several different designs.
Well, when I come to your podcast, I'm going to come with the fanny pack filled with Big League Chew.
All right.
What do you think?
Yeah, you can't even have it in the packaging. You have to actually dump it from the pouch.
And eat it right out of the...
Yes, right out of the fanny pack. Yep.
Oh, man, this is a challenge. You will not see me show up without it.
Well, it's... you heard it here first, so...
Can't wait.
Yep, we'll get you.
All right.
You better order it after this. Yeah, you better order it after this because... Might take a bit to come to you.
All right. Well, we'll do it.
Get your Big League Chew guy on the horn. I mean, you had the guy, so yeah. It shouldn't be too hard.
Like the Rob Nelson.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool dude. Yeah. I just hope he brings out this Shredmobile that he talked about making. It's like a Wienermobile, but a Shredmobile. And he says he's going to drive around in a Shredmobile.
What would the shape be?
He said kind of like a van, like but with like tall sides. With like shredded, like it's like shaped like shredded gum, like gum like coming out of a pouch, kind of like I'm doing a motion, but no one can see us except you and Mike Man,
right?
But I'm doing this motion of shredded gum sticking out of the pouch. I think that's what he meant.
Okay,
yeah, on both sides of the van.
I'd like to see it.
I mean, I don't even think it's made yet, but I told him. He actually just commented on my LinkedIn post today, and I commented back, and I said, "Rob, I said, I hope one day we can get together and ride around the Shredmobile together."
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Definitely.
Yeah.
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 So.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got off on talking about so much Big League Chew.
Well, you
here.
Started making fun of my fanny pack. Oh, I'm not even curious. Wearing right now.
I was just curious. Jesus. I was just curious about it. You know?
Well, that's where it's from. It's a fanny pack.
It's a statement piece.
Yes, it is.
All right. So now back to the regularly scheduled program. all right. So Alt 92.1. Tell me a little bit more about it. What do you guys play?
It's alternative. It's really built as a station where, like for discovery. So it's a lot of music you're going to hear first in the market, and then you know the top 40 stations kind of start playing it. But I mean, there's so much different stuff now that we play that I don't. My focus is on the local music. Can I get into that?
Yeah, go for it.
Awesome.
Definitely.
Awesome. I don't want to not talk about Alt-92, but I mean my passion and my love.
That music playing in the background right now?
Yeah, that's
not Alt. That's not. That's just a satisfied customer of the On the Stacks podcast driving by.
Yeah, that's not the Alt 92.1.
Yeah.
By any means. But so I have this show on Saturday nights called Alt Natives. So I kind of am happy that the name changed from Fuzz to Alt because I was able to create a cool name for my radio show.
Do you create it?
I create it, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, Alt Natives.
I get it.
You get it?
Yeah.
All right. So it's Alt Natives.
See what you did there.
On Alt 92.1. It's on Saturday nights, 9 o'clock.
You're the host.
9 to 10. I'm the host. I try and get through it. But I feature an hour's worth of music from artists in and around NAPA. And it's something I've always loved about this area. And I'm sure that if I was living in a different city, I would love the local scene. Maybe not as much, though, because I think there's so much talent in this area that people just don't know or appreciate. And I really always wanted to just kind of showcase that. And so I started this show in 2017. So it'll almost be 3 years in August. And it's funny because when I was at the station the first time in 2013, I had said to the GM at the time, we should have a local show. We're a locally owned station. We should have a local show highlighting artist. And I said, not me, because I can't even talk normally like to you right now without mumbling my words and things like that.
Yeah, me neither.
We have no business being on these mics, right?
Yeah, right.
But no, seriously. So he looked at me like I had three heads. I'm like, okay, cool. Never mind. That's fine. Like, it was just an idea that I had that I think we could, it'd be cool to do. So fast forward to 4 years later, a new PD comes in. That GM's gone. New PD comes in. He's from Detroit. And he says, you know, we had a show that was local in, when I was at the station in Detroit. I said, that's awesome. Like, I wanted to do that here, but I got laughed at. And he said, I'm not me to do it, but we should do it. And he's like, well, why don't you do it? And I'm like, I have no business. I said, I'm not trained. I have no background on being, you know, behind a microphone or on radio or anything like that. He's like, well, there's no other person for the job. Like, you're passionate about it. You've been in the scene for 1,000 years. Like, you'll figure it out. So I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Sure. And I'm still trying to figure it out, but here we are 2.5, 3 years later. And, I think it's a really great thing for the area. I think it's, again, it's, I thought I had the pulse, my finger on the pulse of this local scene when I started the show. And I was like way off. Like, I've been introduced to so much, new music and new artists and stuff that I'm just shocked that comes out of this area. It's just amazing. And, you know, it's nothing, like, this concept is not new. I'm not going to sit here saying the pioneer of a local radio show here in NEPA. There's a gentleman who's been doing a local show for maybe 15 years. But what I like to do, or what I think I do differently, is I kind of feature the newer stuff. The stuff, you know, the bands that are currently in the bars playing and recording new music now. Whereas his kind of focus has been just kind of covering what was, you know, cool 15 years ago and beyond, which is fine. There's a place for that. I think there's, you know, I do my thing and he does his thing. But there was no one covering bands like Send Request, Estacota, James Barrett. There's so many. Nearly York. Amanda Rogan and her band called Sweet Nest. And even like the hip-hop genre, like Gus the Savage and Maine the Medicine and Ty Soul, and there's a young man by the name of Luke Abdallah. Like, those guys were, there was no light, you know, on those guys. And I hope that
these are all NEPA people.
Yep. It's you know, one thing I get the most of is people saying, I'm so impressed by the quality of, you know, recording and the talent that's here in NEPA. So it's, if you're listening and you're a band, like, I get more often than not just people saying, like, this sounds so good. It's so well done. You know, maybe it's not their style that they like, but it's like, it's done very well.
Yeah, so that's cool. So I think you already kind of answered my next question, but maybe there's something else though, too. What is your favorite thing about NEPA besides the music, if there is anything else?
I can give you the generic, like, oh, it's only 2 hours from Philly. It's only 2 hours from New York. Well, I don't want any part of that right now because they've got the coronavirus real bad.
Yeah.
No, but what is it, man? Like, you know, I've been to a lot of different places. Obviously, like, when you're on vacation, like, everything seems awesome. And it's like, oh, you know, I wish NEPA had this. And I think NEPA is, you know, constantly growing and getting better. What I like the most, I mean, it's home. Like, it's weird. I don't have anything specific to say.
My community.
My family's here. You're involved with, you know, the Big Brothers Big Sisters, mm-hmm. So you get that side of things too. Yeah. So I mean, this area, yeah, there's no shortage of heart in this area, which
definitely
I really love that. And I've been part of so many benefits and so many, you know, charity events in this area. I mean, another one of my sponsors, Axelrad Screen Printing, what they did with the Shirts Off Our Backs movement.
Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I think, I forget the number.
I think it's around 90,000. I had them on the podcast when they were at about, I think, 40,000. So that was like maybe halfway through.
And it's funny, too. They were like, oh, we'll start our goal at 10.
And crazy. Was,
yeah, 20.
And absolutely I was like, crazy.
Yeah. I forgot you had them on. Yeah. That was a good episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely no lack of heart here in NEPA.
Yeah.
And people definitely are going to complain about certain things, but that's every city. That's every town.
Yeah, there's always you get that everywhere.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is home, and I've been here since the day I was born. You know, it's
same.
And, you know, I think, you know, you can really kind of create here and make something of your own. And there's so many different agencies that have started here. You have Cole Creative in Wilkes-Barre. You have Conversion Media Works. They're like a up-and-coming agency. It's not too big to the point where you can't create. I mean, you're doing this, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it.
But you're doing it. Doesn't matter. You're doing it. And you can. And and you're creating a space for yourself and a brand. And, you know, and it just started off, you know, with these pictures on the stack. So it's cool, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. A year and a half ago. Maybe more.
Yeah.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, this whole thing started. Not the podcast, obviously. The podcast has only been around for since like the beginning of March. But yeah, that the whole Stax photo thing started back like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy to believe. It's crazy to think about. And one other thing, by the way, I'm glad you say NEPA and not NEPA.
I can't stand that.
Right?
NEPA.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't even know what that is. That's like it's not even a lazy way to say it. It's
gibberish.
Just wrong.
It is wrong.
How do you say Wilkes-Barre?
Depends on the day.
Okay.
Right now, Wilkes-Barre.
Wilkes-Barre.
If I'm not lazy, Wilkes-Barre, because it was Wilkes and Barry.
Yeah. I've never been a Wilkes-Barre guy.
No, definitely not. Or as El Prez says, Wilkes-Barre.
Dude, that's been pretty neat, though.
Yeah. Kind of cool.
Did you see those reviews, the recent ones?
I did. He should have tried the sweet sauce. What a loser.
Dave, if you're listening, don't listen to Bill. It's fine. Leave.
It's all about the sweet sauce.
The thing he said that really annoyed me, though, was Nardoni's.
You know what? And maybe we'll have to have this discussion at another... Well, maybe I can ask them to come on the podcast and talk about it. However, one of my coworkers actually told me that the pronunciation may actually be the original pronunciation, because their Italian may actually have been some variation of Nardoni's.
Huh.
Like, that may actually be right.
Well, then I take it back, Dave Portnoy.
But
if you're right, I apologize, but you know what?
It's
Nardone's.
We'll figure it out.
It's Nardone's until proven otherwise.
It is.
Yeah.
But I actually now just call it Nardoni's. I mean, I forever.
And he destroyed that pizza in his oven when he had it.
He did.
Oh.
He did. He burnt his mouth, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he burnt the shit out of the pizza, too.
Yeah, that, too.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, but I'm glad you're an NEPA guy, not a NEPA guy.
Yeah.
I think Josh Cadle, I think, might say NEPA. I had him on.
Josh. He's my insurance guy.
Yeah.
I've known Josh.
You know Josh?
Dude, we were kids. Well,
cancel your insurance. He calls it NEPA.
We're done, Josh.
Yeah.
When he answers my phone calls, sometimes I call just to talk. It's not to harass him about advertising. I think that's what he thinks I'm trying to do. I just want to talk, Josh. Talk Red Sox, you know, talk about NEPA.
Yeah, not NEPA. Jesus. NEPA doesn't exist.
Yeah, I've known Josh. I want to say his mom, like I went to daycare with, like, at his house, like his mom had a daycare center at their property. I could be very wrong, but I think that's how I was, first introduced to Josh. We were young kids, and then we played baseball against each other. And now he's this amazing insurance guy for Allstate here in NEPA, not NEPA.
Yeah, totally.
But another prime example. He had a store in Dunmore,
yep.
And now he's got a second location here, or not here in Kingston, because we're in Wilkes-Barre, but in Kingston. And again, he's making something for himself. That's what I think a good thing about this area is you can do that, because it's not a big area, So you can make things happen.
Yeah. I think it's what you make of it, personally.
That too. Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Just got to figure it out.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. We'll start a podcast. Just start a podcast.
Yeah, just start it.
Jump on a stack and start a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Just sit on some pallets of paper and then just start a podcast. That's all you need to do. You know? Dude, whatever.
This is a good place to be.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think it's getting better.
I agree. Know?
So.
Yeah. Well, thanks to your fanny pack, of course, but it's getting better.
Bro, if you don't have one.
I don't.
If you don't have one in the next 2 months.
Well, I'm going to have one.
We're going to have words.
Well, I have to have one because I'm going to fill a big league shoe.
That'll be the photo for mine.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, we're going to wrap it up here in a few minutes, but was the On the Stacks podcast everything you'd hope for?
That and more.
The answer is yes.
That and more.
Okay, good.
You know, I didn't know if I should just say yes or if I should like add to it, but no, this is really cool, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice little studio here.
Yeah.
This table's solid. I saw that a friend of yours made it.
Yeah, he's his episode, by the time this episode airs, his will already air.
Cool.
It's been recorded, just isn't released yet. So you'll hear about that a little bit soon.
Cool.
Or well.
Yeah.
In real time, but not right now.
This is cool. No, but I mean, I'm happy to be here. Like I said, I wanted to wait until I was allowed in the studio.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did because great conversation.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to bring my cardboard cutout fanny pack.
The firmness, yeah. The
firmness.
Yeah.
You need to work on that too.
I do, yeah. That's why I have the dictionary. Firmness. I gotta work on my words. all right, so Alt 92.1, Saturday nights, 9 to 10, right?
Yep.
Check it out.
Yeah, on all the social medias, AltNate is on Alt 92.1, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find me on all those places as well. If you are listening to this and you're a musician and I don't have your music, please send it. You can email that to altnatives@alt921.com. Always looking for new stuff. I say a lot too.
That was a good commercial though. That was real good. You were like on a roll there.
Yeah.
That was good.
I always say It's my filler. It's like my safety net.
Yeah, I gotta
work on that.
All right. I think we'll just we'll end the podcast there. Johnny Popko on the Stacks podcast. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, man.
If you'd like to learn more about the On the Stacks podcast, be sure to search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. We'll catch you next time on the Stacks.